Okay, good morning, everybody. And thank you for joining my session about System Center 2012 Operations Manager. I know it's Friday, last day, second session. Hope still a lot of energy left because we're gonna cover quite some ground in this session. We're gonna talk about network monitoring and storage monitoring with System Center. So if you're up for that, you're in the right session. I want to apologize up front for not doing live demos. It has to do with the connection back into Amsterdam, but I did make screen recordings, so we're gonna see the demo anyway, and I'm gonna show you how things work, but it's not gonna be live though. So at least you get a feeling of how it's done, how you configure it, and how you can use it. So again, apologies up front for not doing live demos. If you want to see the demo clearly, you might want to move into the front to have a clear view during the session. So allow me to introduce myself. I'm Maarten Goed. I'm a 6-year System Center MVP. I work out of the Netherlands, and in my day job, I help enterprise customers envision private clouds using Hyper-V and System Center. And I have the opportunity to share with you some of the best practices, some of the lessons learned when using Operations Manager towards network monitoring and storage monitoring today. If you want to go ahead, I'm also available on Twitter, and I'll post some of the things I'll be demoing through my Twitter account during the next couple of days. The agenda for this session, we're going to cover a bit about Operations Manager 2012 and how we do monitoring. Then we're going to zoom into the network monitoring piece. We're going to have a look at the storage monitoring, talk a bit about how all this information that we're monitoring comes together in visualization, in creating dashboards and drill downs, and how to really have an understanding of your network topology, your service, the health of your service, and how that relates. And we're also going to look at capacity management, because it's nice that we can monitor things today, but we want to do predictions, know future state of your network, of your bandwidth, and we can use capacity management in System Center Operations Manager to some degree predict what bandwidth we'll be using. And then at the end, we'll open it up for Q&A. If you have any questions, I'll try and answer those, and I'll be available after the session as well if you want to follow up with any network monitoring, storage monitoring, or even general System Center questions. So before we start, who is using System Center Operations Manager today? Okay, that's a fair number of hands. I guess you're here for the deep dive. Who's using 2012? Okay, SP1? Okay, most hands still remain up, so that's good. I guess we're all level set on the same page then, and we're going to dive into the network piece in a second. But I want to reiterate the whole goal of System Center Operations Manager, where we're trying to deliver on this 360 degrees monitoring of your service, of your application, of the thing you're trying to provide to your end user, to your customer, whatever it is. It starts, of course, with the infrastructure monitoring. And that's the piece we'll talk about in the later part of the session on how we can do network and storage monitoring. On top of that, you want to do the application monitoring piece. You want to understand components and how these components relate to each other, have a service-oriented view, and get a couple of dashboards and how to get insights in that service. And then, of course, you also want to measure the end-user experience, because your network might be telling you that those pieces are working okay, but you want to have an understanding if it's still working for your customer end-to-end, so whether or not application components are failing, how your infrastructure is performing from an end-user perspective. And ideally, you want to do that through a consistent UX, so through a consistent UI. So have one operations console, one web console, or even one dashboard in drilling down from this end user perspective to the application, then all the way into the infrastructure, and actually assist you in getting the root cause in why an outage might appear, and do that top down, so from service and user oriented, but also bottom up from infrastructure. If we have an infrastructure outage, how can we see which applications and users and locations are impacted? And that's what we're trying to achieve with Operations Manager as a high-level goal. Now, the things that come into play delivering that, of course, are the synthetic transactions, where we measure user experience, we measure how applications talk to websites and such. We have the DevOps integration. You might have seen sessions about that this week or online through Channel 9, where you have the integration between our operations view on health, performance, configuration, but also closing the loop back to development. If there is an outage or a bug or something that should be followed up with, we want to have the integration between our worlds and the development world. And we can do that today with the TFS and Visual Studio integration that we delivered through 2012 and SP1. And if we want to have deep dive monitoring of .NET, there's a module called Application Performance Monitoring, APM in short, where we can actually dive deep into .NET. And one of the new things in R2 that we announced is that there's now also Java APM monitoring coming on the horizon. We'll be looking at the dashboard framework. So how can we actually compile these dashboards, create dashboards, publish them, look at options in the box, look at options integrating with SharePoint, but also at third-party vendors. And we'll talk a bit about management packs and how we use management packs to do the storage and network monitoring. And something we won't touch on today, but certainly that's new in R2 and in SP1, is the deep Azure integration, where we can do monitoring of infrastructure and application components within Windows Azure to really complement the 360 degrees of monitoring with System Center 2012. So let's have a look at network monitoring. I guess it's one of those highly anticipated things. When we moved from System Center Operations Manager 2007 to 2012, we have network monitoring out of the box. But what can we do? What can't we do? How does it work? What if my switch isn't supported? How does the licensing work? We'll try and cover all these subjects this morning and get you an understanding of how we can do network monitoring today with Operations Manager. So what do we get out of the box with the network monitoring? We actually get out-of-box discovery. So we add a device, we discover all the characteristics of the device, the components, all the layers, etc. We provide monitoring. So based on the discovery and the components we've learned about, we want to have either basic monitoring or deep monitoring for the devices we fully support. We'll provide you with out-of-the-box dashboards, so you have an at-a-glance view of how your environment is running from a network perspective. And also reporting if you want to use the data warehouse to take use of that data and look back 12 months in time and give you a bit of an understanding on how performance has been in the past. One of the neat things that we have in 2012 is that we have the server-to-network dependency discovery. And I'll talk a bit about port stitching in a second. But what we do is we try and relate the networking components to your server components and understand how a server is tied into your network so that when you use these dashboards, you can actually drill down into the server perspective from your network and the other way around, which should assist you, of course, in troubleshooting and a short mean time to resolution. We have a lot of vendors that we support. Currently with SP1, we have over 80 vendors that are certified. And there are over 2,000 devices that we actually support. The term certified or certification actually is going to drop in R2, and I'll talk a bit about what that means to have a generic or a certified device. But there are lots of devices that are supported. And we support all major protocols. So SNMP V1 might be that you have a data center where there's like a humidity sensor or a fire sensor or something that still talks SNMP V1. We can certainly support that today. We have SNMP V2 support, so we can talk to the majority of devices. And those enterprises already running SNMP V3, we also support the more secure version, SNMP V3. And we can do that through IPv4, and we can also do that through IPv6 if your management server infrastructure is running on Windows Server 2012 or higher. So we actually have native IPv6 support in System Center 2012. Now, this technology, the network monitoring piece, was actually the code base. The whole technology was licensed from EMC Smarts, and Microsoft built it into System Center 2012. And going forward, we're going to evolve it and add extra features and give you a bit of an understanding what we deliver. Now, the device types we support are very broad, and this is certainly not an extensive list, but the majority devices will be things like bridges, load balancers, switches, firewalls, routers, hubs, but also the virtualized networking. Like you've learned in Hyper-V 2012 and newer, we have a big option there to do virtualized networking, NVGRE, etc. And there's also a clear requirement, I guess, to do network monitoring of your virtualized environment. So understand your hosts, understand your switches, virtualized switches there, understand your virtualized ports on VMs, So we're going to talk a bit about how SP1 will actually do network monitoring for you with VMM combined. Now, I want to talk about these stages. So firstly, I want to talk about discovery, then talk about the monitoring piece, then about the dashboards and about the reporting, and give you a bit of an understanding of network discovery. So the first thing you do is you want to add your devices to Operations Manager, go into the administration pane, hit add, choose the right protocol and settings, and then start adding the device. But what do we discover if we reach out to the device? Well, we'll of course discover the key components, so the ports, interfaces, processors, memory, etc. We'll also discover the connectivity. So we'll look at the ARP table and other tables to see how is the switch communicating to other network devices, how is it communicating to server and virtual machines. We have a look at the VLAN membership. If it's a Cisco device, we also collect the membership of the HSRP groups, which are basically like high available groups in Cisco. And one of the things we'll have a look at a second is we'll stitch that port to a VM or a server NIC if we find the correspondent NIC and MAC address and IP address in Operations Manager. Now, if you want to do discovery, you go into the interface and you want to add a device, there are two ways of doing so. There's what we call the explicit discovery, and there's recursive discovery. And with explicit discovery, it's actually where you add specifically every information you know about the device. So the IP address, the SNMP read string, you do that for all the devices you want to add, import a list, type them by hand, but you explicitly give the information to Operations Manager, and it will traverse through your list, add all the devices, and you're good. Now, that's fine if you know all the information, you want to control that process, add the devices that you really want to monitor, you might want to use explicit discovery. But you could certainly also opt in for recursive discovery. Oftentimes it's where you might not know the network topology or have OM do the work and discover all the other devices. You add a seed device, so typically like a switch, a backend switch in your data center or something that's in the middle of your network. You need to supply the SNMP read strings that are potentially used for any device in your environment. But what we'll do is we'll go into the ARP and IP table of that C device, get a list of devices we're communicating with, reach out to the other devices with the SNMP read strings that you actually provided, see if we can contact them, if we can read those ARP and IP tables, and so in that way traverse through the network. This doesn't use things like the Cisco Discovery Protocol or other vendor discovery protocols. We just look at the ARP IP table, we get that list, we try and reach them through your network, and then add the devices and go forth. Now, when doing discovery, there are three stages. We have the initial probing stage where we check, is the device actually reachable? Can we add it? Can we talk to SNMP? We have the processing stage where we do the more extensive discovery. And then we have a post-processing stage where we actually tie all the information back. So let's have a look at all these stages. In the initial probing, we actually send an ICMP ping, if you will, and or SNMP request to that system we want to add. And it says and or because it's up to you if you want to just use ICMP or just SNMP or both. Because you might have a network setting where you only open up the SNMP port, don't allow any ICMP replies, then you might want to disable that because otherwise we'll fail at the discovery. But based on that, we will identify the system and go into the processing phase where we get the components, the IP addresses, the VLAN membership, resources, IP network, NAT masks, neighboring devices through the ARP and IP table, and we create the basic topology of that device. Then the device is added, you actually see it already in the OM console showing up. Then the management server actually has a job to do the post-processing phase, which could take up a few seconds or a few minutes, depending. We'll have a look at the devices we know from OM, from the OM database, and do the port stitching. So, hey, this MAC address corresponds to this computer. We've just added the network piece to it. It's going to port stitch and create this spider web for you, if you will. And we'll show that in the demo visually, how that spider web looks. And we'll also show you the layer 2 and layer 3 connectivity in the topology. And in my demo, I'll show you how that shows up in the dashboard view and how you can use that in daily monitoring. Now, if we're doing the network discovery initial phase where we're doing the ICMP ping, we will use SNMP v2 by default. So if you want to use SNMP v3 or v1, you need to explicitly say. If v2 fails, we'll actually try SNMP v1, but we'll not try v3, so be aware. We'll do ICMP ping first if you selected that one. If you disabled it, we of course won't. And then we'll do an SNMP get if that's successful. And we'll actually reach out to get the basic information, and we'll add the device. If either of two will fail, so the ICMP ping or the SNMP get, the device is added to pending, so you can like redo your settings, check what's going wrong, and just right-click, say rediscover, and we'll go through the phases again and add it. And as you can see from the capture I did in one of my systems, it's a real simple process, just an ICMP ping, SNMP get, and then you're good. Now, the thing we do is we actually get the sys description. So there is a common area within SNMP defined. It's the 136 number you see on screen, where we have a few variables we can use. So the system description, the object identifier, the contact, the name, the location. Those are the typical things you normally set up when adding a device to your network. We'll reach out and get those. And those actually will be attributes, properties, of the instance in OM. So if I'm looking in the network view, we'll actually see those as part of the attributes of that device. If we can't get those, we'll actually put the device into pending. You need to solve that. We can talk SNMP. Then we can actually do the processing again. And this is an example I took from a Cisco Catalyst 4506, where you see the sys description will give us back something that's hard-coded into their operating system. We'll get the object identifier, which is also specifically to the device. So in this case, it's the 4506, and we'll recognize it based on the OID returned, the sys contact, which I didn't fill in, the name of the device, the name we set, and the location we set. So in this case, a specific building number. And those are the things we'll work with throughout the rest of the discovery. Now, the OID we just saw, so the typical 136 number that actually indicated to us it's a Cisco 4506, will be matched by the management server adding the device in an OID 2 type config file, which is found on the management server. You can see it at the first bullet. It's a file where we actually understand, oh, this is the device we know about. We know the typical characteristics, so the number of ports, backplanes, processors, whatever it has that we need to monitor. So we check it with this file. If it's not found, we consider it to be basic, generic. If it is found, we consider it to be certified, and we can do extensive, deep, detailed monitoring. And I'll talk about in a second how to add a device to extensive monitoring if it's not so by default. Now, if it is found, we'll go get the details, so we get the IP addresses and all the things that we just talked about. We'll identify the device type. So is this a router, a switch, a firewall? What are we talking to? So we can classify it for different views, but also make creating the right instance. And then we get the right probe. So based on that file, we know these are the monitors, the rules that apply to this device that we want to activate so that we do monitoring for the right information. And then we'll set in the console the level of certification, so whether we found it to be a certified device, so we do extensive monitoring, or that it shows up at generic. Now, if you look at SP1, but also going forward with R2 of Operations Manager, you'll see that column going away. Because you can add, it's not that we can't monitor the device, it's just whether or not out of the box we have all the right information already. If we don't have that today because like your device is too new or too old or it's a vendor we just don't know about, that's not a problem. We can still add our own discoveries. We can add our own monitors and rules. It will just take you some MP authoring to get that done, but it shouldn't be considered as generic afterwards. So we'll drop the name and allow you to customize. And there's already vendors that are converting MIB files to management packs for you if you don't want to do the MP authoring. One of the examples are a few French guys who have a site called mib2mp.com where you can go to submit your MIP, pay a certain price, and you get a management pack back, and your device monitoring is extensive afterwards. So that's a good option. And of course, with every release we'll be doing, so like R2 and R2 plus 1, etc., we'll be adding devices to the device list, updating your management server so we know about more devices to support. Other items in the network discovery, we talked about layer 2 and layer 3 connectivity we create and visualize in the Ops Manager console. We do the port stitching. So again, we look at the OpsDB of the devices we know about. So those devices should be in monitoring. They should have an Ops Manager agent if they're physical devices or Unix, Linux, or whatever. Or they should come in through VMM and the VMM connector, so we know about the virtual machines and their MAC addresses, so we can see the correspondent MAC address through the network, create the line and spider web for you, and do the port stitching. We will remove MAC access points that do not belong to the devices in the topology and create network connections that show up as wide area networks, etc., and then based on the certain discovery protocols. Now, if you're adding a device, you go into the console, you say add device, it's doing stuff, you're waiting for that. One way of tracking this and understanding what's going on instead of looking at the screen for 5 minutes is there's a view under the Operations Manager folder under Network Discovery that's called Network Discovery Progress Events, which will clearly show you at which stage we are. These are the events that you'll get in your event log, so you can certainly also just use the event viewer, but this is quite a convenient view to just understand where we are. If we did the initial probing, network discovering, post-processing, whether or not we discovered it successfully, and also if we didn't discover it successfully, what's the event detail? So couldn't we do the ICMP ping? Couldn't we do the SNMP get? We'll show you that in this event view. So this is a good view to really have a look at if you're adding devices and doing troubleshooting, why it's showing up in failed or pending, or why it's successful. So I guess that's the discovery bit. We got the devices in. We got the extensive monitoring. Now let's have a look at what monitoring then means. With Operations Manager 2012, we have the concept of resource pools. We can group management servers together, have them perform one task, dedicate them to a task, or at least talk high availability for the tasks and the workflows that are running for that job. Network monitoring is also supported from a resource pool perspective. So you can just use the all management servers pool, which is fine. If you want to have dedicated management servers for scale out or bigger enterprises, you could create your own resource pool, group up a certain number of management servers, have them do the network monitoring and also the high availability monitoring. Now, the thing there is to consider every management server in that pool that potentially can do the network discoveries and monitoring should have access logically to that network, should be able to, on IPv4, IPv6, talk to the device that we need to discover and monitor if they're part of this job and of this resource pool. Once we discover them, they show up as instances of the network management node. It's one of the things to consider. For instance, if you're using the service manager integration, where you want to have in your CMDB automatically populated all the network devices found in OM, so you have them in your CMDB. This is the class you'll use. Do be aware that you need to edit the whitelist filter on your service manager connector if you want to have them automatically transferred. I'll tweet about the right link on how to do that later today. And there's a caveat about the ports we'll monitor. We'll only monitor the ports by default that are connected, that show up as connected. So if you put them administratively down or it's just not connected to any cable, it will not initiate the monitoring on that port because there's a high chance we'll just give you garbage. We just want to make sure that we're only monitoring you, monitoring ports that are connected. Now, I'll show you in the demo that there's an override. You could certainly use overrides, use a task to apply monitoring even to ports that are not connected if you really want to do so. And there's this concept of rediscovery. So when you create your discovery, at the end, one of the last pages is, do you want to have this discovery occur again, or is it just a one time? Typically, you'd see, let's do a rediscovery every night at maybe like 2 a.m. At that rediscovery, we'll actually see whether or not certain ports are now connected, and we'll apply the monitoring logic. So after that night, we'll actually have that available. If that's too slow for you, want to intervene, you could certainly use the overrides to do so yourself. Now, for all devices, like you see in the right-hand corner, these are the monitors and rules you at least get. So we do an ICMP ping do device to see whether or not we actually can still ping the device. We regularly, of course, do SNMP get to understand that we're still able to talk to the device. We do collect the ping response times if you want to graph that up, show that in a performance graph. We also have things like rules that will be trap receivers. So number of devices can actually send us a SNMP trap if they had a warm or cold start, and you want to create an alert based on that. We actually have a rule enabled by default out of the box. And then some rediscovery, whether or not rediscovery was done. Those are not enabled by default. And again, you could use overrides to change this. Now, if you look at certified devices, so devices we know about that have extensive monitoring, we'll give you port and interface monitoring, so up and down, if things change from an operational or administrative status, volumes of traffic, percentage utilization, discards, drops, errors, the typical things I guess you want to have on a port level, processor, percentage utilization, memory, free memory, and for the Cisco devices, we do some more memory counters because they expose more information through their SNMP protocol. We look at connection health, and I'll show you in the demo how two switches are connected and show a green line that actually, if something were to occur on one of either ports, will turn the line to red. We'll have a monitoring status on VLAN health, and if it's a Cisco HSRP high availability group, we'll actually give you state based on membership of that group and roll it up to give you an understanding whether or not the group is still highly available. This is an example of the monitors and rules you'll get for a Cisco device. So free memory as a monitor, memory pool fragmentation, processor utilization, things like largest free buffer percentage. Well, you could read them off here. And of course, you could have a look at the authoring pane to see what other monitors for your device would be available. Now, these monitors will have knowledge. They'll also show you which OID is associated and used for information. And again, if you're quite MP authoring savvy, you could use the authoring console to create your own rules monitors to dig up an extra OID and give you status based on the SNMP property you want to monitor. Now, what did we introduce in January with SP1 is the monitoring of some new devices. Like we said, with every iteration of Operations Manager, you get an update to your management servers to those files, and we can actually have deeper monitoring of newer devices that were added. Here's a link in the deck to check out what devices are now on that list. We have the OM-VMM integration, which you might already be using today for just getting VM health and maybe storage pool health, etc. On that SP1 connector, we now expose the networking bits, so the virtual switch, the virtual ports, etc., and some new dashboards to go along with that virtual network monitoring. And we'll show you dashboards in a second, but we have the new Ficinity virtual dashboard and the virtual node dashboard. Okay, let's switch over to the demo. And again, apologies for them being recordings, but I'll show you at least how it's worked in my environment. So I'm in an environment where I have System Center 2012 set up, and I'm in Virtual Machine Manager to show you first the integration between Virtual Machine Manager and Operations Manager. In the settings pane of Virtual Machine Manager, there's an Operations Manager settings node which you can use, which are already pre-populated. I've added my management server, can be any of the management servers, the management group name, the right account name, of course, and under the hoods, the connector will import these management packs into Operations Manager. Now, when setting up the Operations Manager, the information from VMM gets pushed into OM the first time, And then it's almost near real time. So every time a VM is added or status change in VMM, etc., the connector will actually push that information to OM. So we don't need to wait for batches or a certain interval. It will be almost real time. And to show you the connection is working, you can actually use a commandlet called write SC Ops Manager connection and see that the connection health between the two is still working. And if you want to push some information, you could also use this commandlet. Now, if we go to Operations Manager, then this is 2012 SP1 already set up. And there's a management pack node view called Virtual Machine Manager. Under there, you have managed resources. And there are typical things there, the application health, cloud health, hosts, etc. But if we go into the hosts health, you actually see the virtual hosts. So in my case, the Hyper-V hosts that are exposed and installed. And we have the typical monitoring. So in this case, the memory utilization is quite high on the first host. And that information flows through. So the connector is working. But on the right-hand side, if we look at that same host, there's a view called the network vicinity dashboard and a network virtual vicinity dashboard. And we can have a look at the vicinity from a host perspective. And we get back that this host has a virtual switch called converged net switch. And we can drill in a little deeper, going in the network virtual node dashboard. So now looking from a virtual switch perspective, on the left-hand side, we get the vicinity view, so all the virtual ports connected, the host. And then on the right-hand side, the details. And then on the lower side, you'll get the health of the interfaces. And as you can see, I have about 40 VMs. So you get this spider web already based on the virtual switch and the virtual ports that we're monitoring on the various virtual machines. And on the lower section, you'll see actually real-time information on things like the sent and received bits, which you can also use in performance graphs. So this gives you at a glance view. Now, if we go to the performance view, you can actually drill down a bit deeper and see that the virtual port on this VM, which is actually the Ops Manager VM, has a certain number of bytes received, and it's actually rising. So we can have a real-time information about the traffic on that virtual port. Now, if we go to the administration pane, you'll actually see the discovery wizard and a section for the network management and the discovery rules. So we create a discovery rule to add a certain number of devices, and we associate that rule to a management server resource pool. I'll open up the one I pre-created for my HP switches. You can see that I'm just using one single management server, and I'm using the all management servers resource pool. And from this wizard, you could create your own resource pool saying, I want to have my network management servers pool and add the right number of management servers I want to use, but we'll cancel out and just use the regular one. Like we talk about explicit or recursive discovery, I know the environment or I don't. I want to traverse and recurse through the environment or just provide a list with IP addresses, SNMP read strings, etc. And in this case, those read strings are created as what we call run as accounts. Now, don't forget to distribute those run as accounts to the management servers that will be doing the monitoring, as we need to know about these community strings before we can use them. Then if we go to the next page, we'll see that I've added explicit discovery, two IP addresses, 1.1 and 1.2. We're just using SNMP because we disabled ICMP replies. Regular port for SNMP, you can change that. The SNMP version, it'll try V2 first before it'll be trying V1. And then the run as accounts based. And then we can also do some advanced settings, the number of retries, the timeout in seconds or milliseconds, etc. This is the last page where we can actually do the scheduling. So if you want to do the rediscoveries once a day or just run it once and then save up the discovery rule, it'll kick off We can use the operations manager view like we saw to follow up. And then it'll show up as network devices or as pending, of course. And in this case, it found our HP switch. We see the attributes, so the description, the location, the name, the model, and all the other devices I've added. Now, if you go back to the monitoring pane, and there's a specific node called network monitoring, we can show the network devices. So in this case, I've added quite a number of HP switches, quite a number of Cisco devices, and they show up as green. You can have a look at the basic information, and from here we can actually have a deep dive into the diagram view, the graphical view, I guess, of the network device. It has extended monitoring, so quite some components. And in this case, you see there are about 5 ports we really monitor, and these are actually the 5 ports in my environment where I have cables inserted, where we actually have traffic flowing. That's why they're enabled. If we drill down to ports that are not enabled, you'll see the clear round, and then we can actually use the task to say enable monitoring or set an override for groups of ports or groups of devices. From here, we can open up the Health Explorer, have a look at the monitors associated. So we have monitors under availability, under performance that might be enabled or disabled, which you can certainly tune through overrides. And if you look at ports and look at those monitors, you see things like interfaces flapping, interface status, performance monitors, all these things you can use for your monitoring day to day. Again, if you want to have at a glance view, what you could do from here is open up the performance view for a certain port, and you'll see this performance counter, so the outbound packets, the inbound packets, the utilization, etc. And if I want to have a look at the outbound traffic, I just select the time range, and I'm looking at about 7 days worth of data. If we want to go further, we can actually dive into the reporting side. Now, also for the specific devices on the right-hand side, we have the network node dashboard. So we can click on the device, click network node. We get, again, the vicinity view. In this case, a physical network device that's connected to another HP switch. And you see a green line in between. And if we actually click on the line, right-click and say entity properties, there we go. You see that port 21 is connected to port 21. So we have an understanding on how the uplink is working. If either of ports will fail, we'll give the line another color. So you can actually see that the traffic is impacted. And again, the health of the interfaces, active alerts that might be available, etc. From here, we can also directly dive into reports. If we want to have, let's say, a few months worth of data, we can add an object, in this case a certain port. There we go. And we'll select port 21, the uplink port, which has a bit of traffic, so we can actually show you a nice graph. We'll say from this month, this previous month, Thursday to today, and it should give you a line performance report. There we go. Again, you can customize with logo, schedule it, save it to disk or other formats to share with your colleagues. So that's the basic reporting side of Operations Manager you can use in conjunction with the network monitoring. Okay, cool. So that's a bit of a demo on how the networking piece works and how you can do network monitoring. Now, one of the questions I get the most is about licensing. I guess also because last year System Center licensing changed. With 2007, you already had the discussion on do I need to license my devices or not? And how did that change with now the System Center license? Well, you can see it. This is the official statement. Typically, if it's just a network device, just network data flowing through, you won't need a device. If it has other functions, more intelligent functions, like being a firewall, being a proxy server, an SNP gateway, a network attached storage device, something that has another application function on top of the networking, you'll actually see that we do require a license. So this is probably best to discuss with your rep, but I'll give you an overview that typically most devices won't need an extra license. You just need to license your Ops Manager server infrastructure. Okay. So let's look at storage monitoring. I guess one of the other foundational pieces in your environment which we need to bring into monitoring to get this service-oriented perspective and to be able to drill down into the various layers. And how can we do storage monitoring? Well, we don't have the storage monitoring in the box, right? It's not like the network devices where we just go through a wizard and add your storage devices. It's certainly on the horizon, something that Microsoft is considering for future releases. But what are the options we have today? If we were to summarize, you'd have two options. If your storage is added through Virtual Machine Manager, so you're using that there to either manage your Hyper-V hosts or just have them available through VMM, then we can use the Ops Manager connector to get that information into Ops Manager, get a bit of an understanding on the LUN sizes, the capacity used, the status, etc. And most vendors will have a storage management pack. And when we plug that storage management pack into OM, those devices will actually show up in Ops Manager. Now, depending on the management pack, they could still utilize SNMP under the hood, so they require you to add the device through SNMP and then their magic will show up. Or they have specialized systems, use different APIs, etc. In my example, I'll use NetApp to show you what their management pack does and also give you a bit of an understanding of what the connector will bring you. Now, the connector will push this information in as of SP1. So if you're not on SP1 yet, go ahead and upgrade to SP1. There are basic information we get, but also alerts for thin provisioning, because we can now thin provision those LUNs. And we get dashboard views with historical capacity utilization, and also alerts about VMs that are affected if capacity runs out, so that you know how to handle and add capacity for which VM. If you look at the storage management packs, there are a few other things to consider. We, of course, have a specific file server management pack that Microsoft provides. It gives you an understanding of the volumes, so the volumes on top of the storage and the health of the volumes. It also discovers things like CSVs and other types of storage you'll be using, the vendor management packs, and also third parties like OpsLogix that will provide more extensive management packs, for instance, for NetApp. But you're certainly welcome to create your own with the authoring tools. If you have an understanding on how to create through SNMP, for instance, you could use the MP authoring tools. Let's have a quick look. There we go, storage monitoring. So we'll go back to VMM, to the fabric page, and you'll see the storage node. You'll have the networking node and the service node. But under the storage node, we'll have providers. Those providers will be talking with storage from a VMM perspective. And we've added the NetApp provider and the iSCSI provider. And I've already added the arrays from the NetApp and also from the Microsoft perspective. And we see the NetApp. I'm using a simulator, not a physical device, and three aggregated volumes. And those LUNs are actually mapped into storage pools in my VMM environment. I've classified them as bronze, gold, silver, etc., and combined both the iSCSI and the NetApp volumes to provide storage to VMM. So this is basically where you also see the column on the provisioning type, whether it's a thin provisioned volume or it's a fixed LUN. Now with VMM, we can also add the SMB3 file shares, and we get that information back into OM as well. So looking back at the previous demo, we have the Operations Manager connector set up, all the storage connected into VMM. So if we go into Ops Manager again, and we go back to the Virtual Machine Manager view, back to the Managed Resources view, there's a view called Storage Pool Health. And you'll see on the right-hand side the four storage pools I've created. And if we go to the diagram view, you'll see, for instance, that my iSCSI storage pool is in warning state. We'll have a look in a second why that is. We get the basic information, so the total capacity for this LUN. We get the capacity used. And if we look at the Health Explorer, we actually see that the capacity is running out. And that's because a certain threshold was set. In our case, we've set the threshold to 85 and we're utilizing 89. So it's turned into warning and we might need to free up or extend the volume or whatever we need to do. But we get insights into the fact that capacity is running out. And if we go into the performance views, we can also have a look at the used capacity or the total capacity and have an understanding whether it's declining or rising. And we'll use this data in a second to also do some capacity management with. So this is the basic information you get back from VMM. I don't have a lot of storage in my demo environment, so this is just to give you a bit of an overview. If you look at the alerting, same thing here. We see for the storage pool that it's actually exceeded a warning threshold, so it's now at 89%. I can start working with that alert and solve it before we get a critical outage. I've also imported the other management pack, so the file and iSCSI services management pack. And if you look at those, you can also have an understanding of the iSCSI target state, one of the critical components if you're doing iSCSI, knowing whether or not the iSCSI target is working and healthy. And if we look at Health Explorer, there's a monitor associated for configuration and for availability of that iSCSI target provider. If you want, you could use the Health Explorer and the tasks to remediate if there are any problems with your iSCSI target. On the Windows Server, one of the things to consider when doing storage monitoring is, of course, the disk health, CSV health, etc. So you get insights into the volume on top of your storage, whether or not it's functioning, what type of volume, whether it's a fixed disk, whether it's NTFS, etc. And if you look at the Health Explorer, you'll see that we'll also monitor for typical things like file system corruption, free space from a volume perspective, queue length, especially for application performance, interesting to see if certain applications will run into queue length problems. Those are the things you actually get from the basic Windows Server Management Pack, so always a good thing to have that imported in your environment as well. And if you look at performance, disk capacity, there's a pre-canned view on things like the logical percentage free space, so you can see which volumes are actually declining fast to 0% free space. Okay. So what I've done is, in my environment, I have a NetApp simulator. So this is also something you could do in your lab to play a bit around with the NetApp and storage monitoring. It's available on the Linux OS. So what I've done also to show you a bit of cross-platform monitoring, I've added a SUSE VM, Linux VM, and I'm actually running the simulator, which I've downloaded from the NetApp site. And it's running in the background. So what I'll do is I'll attach back to that process number and have a look at the simulator. We'll log in with the right credentials we used at setup time, and we can have a look like the same when you're on a NetApp machine. Have a look at the aggregate status. They're all online. Things like volume status. And this is information just basically from NetApp that I've created some aggregates, so volumes that I'm showing in Ops Manager. And there's also a web page you can use if you want to fiddle around with creating volumes and not bother about the command line. You can just go to the web interface that NetApp exposes, get into the filer view, and just start configuring things like the disks. In this case, of course, virtual disks. Aggregates, volumes, etc. This is how I created my basic layout for my NetApp machine, so I can at least demo you their management pack. There they are. So NetApp exposes their information through SNMP. Actually, their management pack also works through SNMP, so I've enabled SNMP on the simulator. And if I go back to Operations Manager, I've already added the device through the network discovery and imported the management pack called Data ONTAP. which is the name of the management pack. And if we expand it out, you see pre-canned views on things like aggregates, the controller, the storage volumes, etc. So we see the controller version. It's healthy. You can talk to the simulator or your NetApp device. And we get the basic information in. So if we go to aggregates, you'll see the three aggregates with some more information, the number of disks behind it, number of percentage committed to a volume. You can look at the volumes individually, understand the total size, use space. They have some neat information about current savings, about performance. And we can go to a diagram view we pre-populate. So we look at the controller, the NetApp device. We can have a look at hardware status, which is not absent, of course, it's virtual. And we can drill down into the aggregates, volumes, and get an understanding of the storage health in your environment. But also some performance views associated with the management pack. So we can have a look at things like CPU utilization, IO operations, well, not a lot of IO occurring in my lab, of course, almost zero. And IO throughput, and of course things like latency, protocol information, etc. And then NetApp also has reports. So if you go to the reporting pane in a folder called on-command data on-tap, you see all the reports they have, so control availability, but also things like LUN average latency, and even things like storage efficiency reports. Just have a look. If you have NetApp in your environment, the management pack is actually quite okay. So that gives you an overview of how storage monitoring is done. Of course, it depends on the management pack, the quality the vendor provides you, that the level of detail you get in your environment. Now, this is nice. We now have the network monitoring in place. We have the storage monitoring in place. We have probably application monitoring in place. We want to get to this service-oriented view, and we want to provide you with some dashboards. So how would we go about wrapping this up, visualizing all this information so it makes more sense than just looking at individual components? Well, there are a few options to that. You could use the dashboards that we have in the box. With 2012, we have the new dashboard framework. We can provide you with widgets, etc. There's Visio and SharePoint. There's an Ops Manager add-in to Visio, and you can use the Visio services in SharePoint to create them as live dashboards. So we map them out topology-wise, map the health states, publish it to SharePoint, and anybody with SharePoint access can then have an overview. And we have the Cervision Live Maps, which is a third-party plugin. I actually would like to show it to you in a second. Out of the box, you get the dashboards we just saw, things like the network summary, the network node, network interface, and the vicinity dashboard. And again, you could drill down from either of each to the next. You have some pre-canned reports on memory utilization, processor utilization, traffic volume, error analysis, port packet analysis, etc. And these are some of the screenshots. So this would be your network summary. You'd see an overview of the nodes with the slowest response, the nodes with the highest CPU usage, and also the interfaces in your environment with highest utilization. A specific network node, which we just saw, the vicinity view, availability, summarization, some of the properties and average response times. Vicinity view individually, we could map from server to virtual switch, and also have a look, like we just saw with the Operations Manager connector, get status back of your switch, and the host associated, etc. Now with Visio and SharePoint, like we just said, it takes Visio 2010 and SharePoint 2010 or higher to actually map these out. You create them by hand, map the OM health states on top of that, and then publish them to SharePoint. It makes convenient views for people not wanting to go into the OM console or maybe hire management, or creating some kind of IT management portal would be one of those options where you could use SharePoint and Ops Manage together. And there's certainly a lot of blogs and information on how to set this up. But there's also live maps where the company Cervision, who's on the show floor today in Hall 8, will actually extend the OM console. So you again need to draw up the information you want to show as a dashboard, but then it'll be available through the OM console, and you can drill down from, let's say, regions to countries to data centers, even all the way down, for instance, to REC and to networking. So it will give you a drill down possibility from OM with all the nice graphics. Let's have a look for a second. There we go. So again, we're in the same environment. We're in the Ops Manager console. And we go, into the dashboards view, which I pre-created myself. And I've actually created an HP live map to show me my blade system. So the front of the blade system, the back of the blade system, and the networking. And if I look at the front of the blade system, you could map out the information you get from the HP management pack and give you an at-a-glance view on how your blade system is working, if all blades are fine, etc. And we can have a look at the back of the blade system, see about the virtual connects, the onboard administrator, the power supply. And I've just used images from the HP website in combination with live maps to create the background, and the states are actually live from the Ops Manager console. And with the networking piece, I did the same thing. I took the two model pictures from the HP website, dragged and dropped the information from ON on top of that, and now it gives me an at-a-glance view on how things are connected, whether it's healthy, and we can still use the Ops Manager functions to drill in from here to, let's say, the network node dashboard or the vicinity dashboard and really give you a clear insight on how your networking is provisioned in your environment and whether or not it's healthy. Same thing I did for NetApp. I created a storage overview map and also a corresponding virtualization map. With the storage map, I'm looking at the iSCSI target we just saw, the three aggregates, the disks, the controllers, so you get an all-up view of that storage you're providing to your virtualized environment. But I also created a map where I used the Hyper-V hosts, the storage beneath it, the virtual machines, to map out the health of these hosts and the storage. And again, giving you an at-a-glance information where we can still drill down on why certain things are in warning or critical state that we need to solve. So live map clearly helps you here getting a graphical representation of that environment. Now, how do we create these things? It's not too difficult. There's an authoring console associated. Of course, we need to pre-create our graphics because that's something we'll be using from a background. And what I'll do is I'll create a new map. Click here, say next, and hit browse. What I did is I mapped out my converged infrastructure, and we'll see that in a second, but I want to map out my virtualized networking within Hyper-V 2012. We'll give it a name, converged network, finish. I created the map in Visio and then exported it out as PNG. And then you see the map here. Gives me an insight of the virtual ports, the virtual switches, and what function they're used for. And on the left-hand side, we can add the corresponding instance from Operations Manager. In this case, I want to add from the blade system, the interconnect bay. We'll click OK. It will load up the instances we have in our environment, the different interconnect bays, and we'll just drag and drop it onto the service, get rid of some of the labels and some of the graphics, and just drag it on the right position of your map, and you actually get a live understanding on how the interconnect is working. Same we do for the second, and this is how you build up your map. It's actually quite easy. You save it up and it becomes available in Operations Manager, and you can do, you can publish this view to one of your colleagues. So this is one of the ways on how to do more visualized network monitoring, I guess, from Operations Manager. Oh. Well, we're actually in the middle of something, are we not? Well, actually, Vincent, I'm quite busy at the moment. Sorry, guys. I'm not sure what Vincent wants. It's quite urgent. We're not meeting the stock trade as well. Can we do forecasts of the app and components in Operations Manager? How can we do capacity trending and forecasting? Well, I can actually set that up if you guys don't mind. We'll do some capacity management in Ops Manager, given the urgency, and set it up right away. Cool. Capacity management, a big subject. I guess it's something we need to define up front. What is capacity management? It's a process used to manage your IT to provide the current and future needs for capacity. And you have three layers, like you also have three layers of monitoring. You can do capacity management at a component level, a single disk. Are we running out of free space on this single disk? We can do service capacity management, where we look at the service, all the components together rolling up, and do we have enough capacity for the whole service? Or business capacity management, which we won't do with Operations Manager, because we'd need business numbers, of course, to do capacity management with. Now, if you look at current performance views in Operations Manager, you're looking back, right? You see a performance view. It's this point in time. We're going back 7 days in the Ops Manager DB. We're going back 12 months in the data warehouse, but we're always looking back. We're taking this data with capacity management and adding a trend line, whether it's a linear trend line, nonlinear, standard deviation. We're trying to provide a trend line based on this data, and we're extrapolating this data into the future. So if it's 12 months worth of data, can just map it out and say, well, based on this, our trend line is actually declining or actually rising, etc. We need to set thresholds, because when, from a capacity perspective, is this a problem, a warning, or critical? Well, maybe it's warning at 20% free space, critical at 10% free space, and then we'll have a look at how the trend line will hit that threshold and then tell you, well, based on this calculation, you only have 70 days left before you run out of capacity based on your threshold and the current set of data we have in the data warehouse. And this is something I want to show you with Ops Manager 2012. So what we're using here is an add-in, a new management pack within Operations Manager from OpsLogix, the Capacity Management Pack. I've created a new folder called Capacity Management, and we'll create an empty dashboard, just an empty framework with a grid layout. We'll hit next and say we want to create a Hyper-V capacity dashboard. We'll give it a three-cell layout, and the biggest one on top. And create, so we get an empty structure, and in that empty structure we can add widgets. So you can add alert widgets, state widgets, whatever you like. With that management pack, we also get a capacity widget. So we say add widget. We'll go in, click the capacity widget, hit next, and then give it a name. In this case, we want to say disk capacity. Then we need to select the object in Ops Manager that has the performance data we want to trend on. So in our case, we want to ping off the PCI ST2 host, which was one of the Hyper-V hosts we get through VMM. Take the Hyper-V host, and then take the performance counter we want to calculate capacity on. We'll get a nice filter, so we only get the performance counter associated with this host, and say we'll do logical disk. We'll take 3%. Percent free space, sorry, total free space, and do a calculation based on that. And then we'll set a threshold. It's a percentage, so 0 being least, 100 being most. We'll say 10% in the next 90 days, or 20% will be warning, and it's descending towards the threshold. Hit next, and say we'll start calculating as of January 1st of this year. There we go. And we'll show 30 days in the widgets on screen. Hit create, and it'll take a few seconds, and then show up a capacity graph indicating whether or not we'll be running out of capacity in the timeline we've set, which was 90 days. And in this case, it's green. So we're gonna manage, not too big of a problem. It's still steadily growing. Now, if we look at memory, I've looked at the memory counter before. I see we're declining with memory usage. Let's have a look at how we're doing capacity-wise. So we'll say memory capacity for this Hyper-V host. Again, we need to select the ST2 as the corresponding host we want to trend on. Give back a list, there we go. And then select the performance counter, in this case memory. which is calculated in megabytes. So we'll select megabytes and say, if in the next 90 days it'll be less than 4,000 megabytes, 4 gigabytes, or less than 6,000, it's either warning or critical. And again, we're descending towards threshold. It's becoming less and less. Next, we'll calculate again from January 1st. Show you 30 on screen. And then we should actually get a nice graph with a red in it. There we go. Memory capacity, do your magic. So it says, well, based on the current thresholds, it's actually 35 days before you'll run out of capacity. And the nice thing is, this is a view you can just put on screen, of course, but we also create monitors and alerts. So if you go into the capacity view, you could just have a look at the alerts and, for instance, create a runbook and orchestrate it to add capacity or do something proactive if you want to. Now, there are also pre-canned dashboards if you want to do like Hyper-V capacity for all your hosts at once and get an understanding of how the hosts are performing. And then you'll see that ST2 is the only one that's actually not meeting capacity demand, again, because we saw that memory will be going to be less than the 4 gigabytes in the next 35 days. So that's a bit about capacity management. So those are the things I had prepared for you guys. This is where I wanted to tell you, well, System Center 2012 delivers on comprehensive fabric monitoring, whether it's with VMM, through Management Pack, or things like network discovery in the box. The dashboarding is really helpful to do more proactive monitoring, even with like the live map options, give you at a glance view of physically how your environment is organized. And capacity management, I guess, delivers the fifth dimension to ops manager, doing some trending and some forecasting. So with that, I want to thank you for your visit. If you want to give me some feedback, please fill in the evals. I'd like to understand what I can add the next time, what I can improve on. But again, thank you. And we still have like 7 minutes left. So any questions, just raise your hand and I can take them now. Okay. Well, I think it's all clear and understood. Or you're just really craving for a coffee. Well, thank you. Have a good day at TechEd.